This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Let's start with introduction to 40 ahadith. Okay, objectives of this lesson. Where did we stop off last? Pillars of Iman. We didn't actually go into the pillars, did we?
Started.
Okay, so let's finish off the pillars of Iman. And I doubt we'll have time to finish the rest, but if we do, we'll take what is Ihsan, and then finally, the signs of the hour, the Day of Judgment. We said the word Iman comes from which word in Arabic? Amn, which means?
Security.
Protection, safety. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ as Allah said in Surah Quraysh. So when you have Iman, you have security, safety. But what are the components of Iman? To have Iman, complete Iman, you need to have three components. Firstly, belief in the heart. Good. That's where it starts. Then what?
Statement on the tongue.
Good. Statement on the tongue. In other words, take your shahada. And then, actions of the limbs, correct. You can split them up in three or two. You could say belief and actions. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ آمَنُوا عَمِلُوا over and over in the Qur'an. Both are important. That's why you find some of the ulama who said whoever does not do any actions, they have left Islam. And inshallah, the next hadith, we're going to look at what actions, if you leave them, make you a kafir or not. That's next hadith, hadith 3. But for now, let's just focus on that. Because belief in the heart, if it's true Iman, it'll come out on the limbs. A person who says, I've got a good heart, I don't have to pray, I don't have to fast, I don't have to do hajj, that's rubbish. Firstly, a person who says, I've got a good heart, you say to them, Allah said, فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't ascribe piety and Iman to yourself. Don't ascribe goodness and piety to yourself. That's how I'm good. No, Allah, هو أعلم بمن اتقى. Allah knows who is good. Secondly, Iman, if it's there, it's like a seed. You know when you plant a seed, what is it going to give you?
A tree.
Yeah, a tree. It's going to give you fruits, plant, something. Now, if you plant something and you don't get anything, what's it mean? It's either there's no seed or bad seed. That's right, it's corrupt. Likewise, a person who has no actions, it means that seed of Iman is either not there or it's corrupt somehow. So when people say, yeah, I believe, but you don't have to do anything. Allah knows what's in my heart. Yeah, He knows that there's nothing there. So, and now that's Iman. That's three components for Iman to be complete. Now, what are the pillars of Iman? Last week we started by talking about the first pillar is belief in Allah. And we said there's four components to that. Number one, to believe in is?
Rubiyyah.
Then? Uluhiyyah. Then? Asma' Sifat. And you've studied that, I'm sure, with Sheikh Abu Ishaq in Aqeedah. And we added the fourth category. Anyone remember?
Existence.
His wujud. Now, if a person acknowledges those four in their heart, is that enough to become a Muslim? No, it's not. Because who had that but died as a kafir? Abu Talib. That's called iqrar. Iqrar, when you acknowledge in your heart that God is the only one worthy of worship and you believe all those things, just to acknowledge in the heart is not enough. We said has to have it. You have to have statement on the tongue and then action on the limbs. Okay, let's go on to the second pillar. The belief in the angels and malaika. To believe in their existence, their creation, they're created from light. They don't sin. They don't even want to sin. They can't sin. They don't have a particular gender. All of those things. Also to believe in their good. Their appearance is good. Their looks. So their appearances. What else? Their. Yeah, okay, their roles. Good. So firstly, their names. We've missed that one. Believe in their names that we know of. And their roles. So all of those things constitute our belief in Iman, among many things, in the angels. So for example, as for their appearances, we know Jibreel alayhi salam, as Allah Ta'ala mentioned in Surah Najm, علمه شديد القوى ذو مرة فاستوى. ذو مرة, as Ibn Abbas said and others, ذو خلق طويل. He's tall in stature. He's huge. He's colossal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him in his original form. 600 wings. SubhanAllah. That covered the horizon. 600 wings. Imagine you walked out of MIA today and you looked up into the sky and everywhere you looked, there was just something covering the horizon. In the sky completely. You can't see anything. How big must it be? That's Jibreel alayhi salam. He's so strong and powerful that he destroyed a nation, he destroyed a town with the tip of a feather. They get bigger than that. The Hamalatul Arsh. Hamalatul Arsh, the holders of the throne. They are the biggest. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I've been given permission to speak about one of the angels holding the throne of Allah. He said the distance between its ear and its shoulder is 700 years travel. So what does that do? When we hear of their roles, it doesn't mean Allah needs them. He needs them. Do my work, please. No. He's done that for great wisdom and among them to show the greatness of Allah. Like when you hear Hamalatul Arsh, they don't need to hold it. But it gives you an indication, if the angel is great, imagine the Creator, He's far greater. Exactly, the Arsh. And of course, the Arsh doesn't mean Allah needs it. It's just a sign, one of the signs of His greatness. That's what Iman in the angels should do. That's what belief in Aqeedah should do. For some people, belief in Aqeedah is only theoretical. No practical application in their lives whatsoever. And then rather, they just want to use that to make takfir on everyone. And that's wrong. We shouldn't do that. You know, once belief in Allah enters the heart, it should soften the heart, not harden the heart. So that's what it should do. Belief in the angels should do that. It should humble us. When the Prophet ﷺ went on the night journey, what was it called? Al-Isra wal-Miraj. Who was his personal tour guide? Jibreel alayhi salam. Imagine that. Imagine your personal tour guide. When I was in Egypt, my tour guide stunk, literally. He stunk in his job, but also, literally. And, oh, don't get me started. But anyway, imagine having Jibreel alayhi salam as your personal tour guide. So, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ascended, Jibreel alayhi salam began to change. So, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was taken up to the furthest point, just before what? Allah Azza wa Jalla, the throne of Allah, he looks toward Jibreel and he sees that he has become smaller and humbled and he looked like wet rags, wet cloths. SubhanAllah, why? Because of his closeness to Allah Azza wa Jalla. It put him in a state of humbleness and submission and so much fear. He literally like shriveled up and became smaller. Just like, for example, you know a bird, a pigeon when it rains? You know, shrivels up and comes smaller, and because of the rain and so forth, that's how he looked, like wet rags, wet cloth, subhanAllah. Because the angels who have the most knowledge about Allah, what does Allah say about them? يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ. They fear their master who is above them. So that knowledge created fear, it created taqwa. But unfortunately today, when people start to learn a bit about Tawheed, it's only theoretical, no practical application in their life. They want to go on Facebook, Twitter, social media, make takfir of the whole world. SubhanAllah. Why? Because they just learned Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. So that's what belief in the angels should do. So that's Jibreel alayhi salam. And by the way, how many angels hold the throne? There are four. Now a person says, wait a minute. Allah Ta'ala says, وَالْمَلَكُ عَلَىٰ أَرْجَائِهَا in Surah Haqqa. The angels on its sides. وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةً. Allah said, ثمانية. Eight of the angels are holding the throne. Correct. يَوْمَئِذٍ, on that day, ثَمَانِيَةً. On the day of judgment, it's going to need double the number of angels because the wrath and anger of Allah will intensify. SubhanAllah. So now it's four. On the day of judgment, Allah's ghadab sayyishtad. It's going to increase so much, it's going to need double. It's going to need eight. Allahu Akbar. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. There are many other angels such as Munkar and Nakir. What do they do? Questioners of the grave. Good. What about Raqib and Atid? Raqib from Muraqaba, to see. One sees, monitors you, and the other one, Atid, to record. What's another name of an angel? Mika'il. What does he do? That's Malik. Malik is the gatekeeper of hell. Ridwan, gatekeeper of? Jannah. Good. What about Mika'il? By the way, a common misnomer, a lot of people say Malik al-Maut. No, it's not Malik, it's Malak. Malik is a king. When you say Malik al-Maut, the king of death, it's not the king of death. Malak means angel. Malak. When you say Malik, it's saying king. Malik al-Nas. So you say Malak al-Maut. A lot of people say Malik, because it just rolls off the tongue easier. Now let's go to these angels. We still haven't discussed these three angels. There are many more, but we're just going to mention these and we'll go on to the next topic. Jibril, we know, what does he do? What's his role? He brings the revelation and wahi to the prophets. What does Mikael do? He controls the rain. Allah put him in charge of the rain and it produces the crops, plantation. Israfil, someone said it. Good, blow the trumpet. Now, the Prophet ﷺ would make a dua in his Qiyamul Layl before sleeping, and he'd say, Ya Rabba, Jibreel, wa Mikael, wa Israfil. Oh, kama qal ﷺ. He mentioned these three angels. Why? They all have something in common. They are all responsible for something to do with life. Jibreel, revelation, the life of the soul, spiritual life, iman. Mikael, rain, life of the earth, with crops, vegetation. Israfil, the life after death, resurrection. So see the wisdom of the Prophet ﷺ saying that dua using those three names of angels, because he's literally going to die in the sense of he's going to sleep. And we know sleep is the minor death. You see the connection and the wisdom of the Prophet ﷺ, because he's going to sleep and we know sleep is minor death. So he's going to be awoken again, inshallah, and that's a form of life. And that's why when you wake up, you say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana. He's brought us back to life, because it's minor death. Now let's go on to the third, which is belief in
books.
The books. Why books before messengers? Because the books are longer lasting. For example, the Prophet ﷺ passed away, but the Quran still stayed. Therefore, the books are longer lasting. And what does it mean to believe in the books? Firstly, we believe in their names for those that we know of. Give me a name of one of the early books. Injil, Taurat, good.
Zabur.
Who was the Zabur given to?
Dawood,
good. What about the Injil?
Isa,
good. Taurah?
Musa.
So we believe in the names and we believe also in their content. What's inside of them? We believe. But as long as it does not contradict the Sharia. Because the Qur'an, by the way, from the belief of the books, is that the Qur'an abrogates all that came before it. The Qur'an abrogates the previous books. In other words, my brothers, that's the final version we take there. We don't need to go to the Injil now. We don't need to go to the Torah to learn our Sharia. The Qur'an has it all. Has it all. It's like when you get the new iPhone 6. That's it. You don't want iPhone 4 anymore. You don't want iPhone 5. iPhone 6, upgraded. Latest version. Now the Qur'an is the updated version, and that is it. It cancels out all that came before it. Or the Apple won't do that because they still want their money. They still want to sell iPhone 5 and 4 and get some money out of it. Now, as we said, we believe in the books and their content as long as it's not contradicted Sharia. For example, in the Bible today, it says that Nuh alayhi salam committed incest with his daughters. A'udhu billah. And Lut as well, throw him in as well. And that they got drunk and a'udhu billah. Prophets of Allah doing that? Of course not. You find in the Bible they do that to all the prophets except one, Isa, because they want to put him on a pedestal. Yeah, see, he's so special. He didn't do those sins that the early prophets did. A'udhu billah. They're all innocent of those sins. Al-Muhim, that's belief in the books in a nutshell. Four?
Messengers.
Correct. The fourth pillar of Iman is to believe in the messengers. A person will ask, but what about the prophets? How come it's not belief in the prophets? Who can answer?
They don't receive the message.
Okay, good. The difference between a prophet and a messenger is that a messenger comes with a new book, a new Sharia. The messenger comes with a new message. It's only clear from his name. So the messenger comes with a new Sharia, a new law. By the way, they were all Muslims. When we say new Sharia, doesn't mean one said Allah is one and another prophet said Allah is three. No. The fundamentals of Tawheed and things like that stay consistent. It's only particular details for example, of perhaps worship, of manners, business transaction, etiquettes, things like that. But the fundamentals of the religion stayed the same. We know the difference is that, and the Prophet comes to affirm what came before him. Why is it belief in the Rusul and not Anbiya? What's the difference?
A prophet can't be a messenger, and a messenger can be a prophet and a messenger.
Is that it? Ahsant, well done. So the Prophet affirms the message of the earlier messenger, and every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. So the messenger is on a higher status. Is on a higher status. So when you say every messenger is also a prophet, but not the other way around, so by believing in the messengers, you automatically believe in what? The prophets. It's automatic. It's like if a person said, I believe in parrots, but I don't believe in birds. That's stupid. That's silly. You can't believe in parrots and not believe in birds. By believing in parrots, you believe in birds because parrots are a type of bird. That is it. But a person could say, I believe in birds, but I don't believe in parrots because I haven't seen them. So that's possible. That's possible. So if it was to believe in the prophets, it doesn't mean to believe in the messengers because the messengers are on a higher level. A higher level. So we have the prophets, then you have the messengers chosen from the prophets. That's why from the messengers, it's a smaller number than the prophets. Allah, out of His wisdom, He has favored mankind over the animals. And from mankind, Allah has selected 124,000 prophets. And from those 124,000 prophets, Allah has selected approximately 313 to be messengers. And from those 313, Allah has selected five to be ulul azm min ar-rusul. Ulul azm. Azima is strength of resolve, strong determination, strong-willed. Five to be ulul azm. Who are those five messengers? Nuh, good. Ibrahim. Musa. Isa. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعَلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ أَجْمَعِينَ. All of them, those are the five. And from those five, Allah selected two to be Khalilullah. Who's Khalilullah? Ibrahim and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's Khalil? Khalil is like a close, intimate friend, very close. You know, your Khalil is your friend that you have, that you love, and it's higher than Hub. The word hub in Arabic, love, has 10 levels approximately. Some scholars said 8, some said 7. It's around 10. You have, for example, hub, then you have raghba, and then you have ishtaqtu, and you say ishtaqtu ilayk, and you have al-khulla. Khulla is the highest level of love, highest level. It's to enter something completely. You know when a person says, I love you from the bottom of my heart? Bottom, what about the rest of the heart? What happened? So this is not just love with your heart, it's love with your whole body and soul. That's khulla. That's khulla. So if you want to impress your wife, you say anti khalilati, not anti habibati. Anyway, that's for the married brothers. So five who are ulul azmi, two are khalilullah. But there's also two who are kalimullah. What's kalimullah mean? Allah spoke to him directly. Who are they? Musa and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he is from the Khalilullah and also he is Kalimullah. So he gets that special virtue. And the crown of Allah's creation is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad is the best of men, best of worshippers, best of slaves, best of prophets, best of messengers. He is the best. And he was sent to the best of generations in the best of places. SubhanAllah. The best of the best of the best. That's what Islam is teaching us. Be the best, my brothers. That is the belief of the messengers in a nutshell. Okay, let's go on to the next pillar. The fifth pillar of Iman? Correct. To believe in the last day. What is the last day? Correct. It's called the last day because it literally is the last day. It's the last stage of life. After that is the eternal life. Either eternal paradise or eternal damnation in hellfire. SubhanAllah. And Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, said, when you die, you have now entered the hereafter. As soon as you die, that is the hereafter, right there. You've actually entered into the next life. And the grave is called Al-Qiyamah Al-Sughra, and the Day of Judgment is called Al-Qiyamah Al-Kubra. So the grave is actually when your Qiyamah begins, but it's Al-Sughra. What's Sughra mean? Saghir. Small, minor resurrection. That's very important, because a lot of people, they are so concerned about the Day of Judgment. When is it? What are its signs? Have they occurred? Habibi, it's not as far as you think. إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا. Allah says, they think it's far. وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. We see it as close. SubhanAllah. As soon as you die and you enter the grave, that is your resurrection. It has begun. It's the minor resurrection. It's called Al-Qiyamah Al-Sughra. Whereas Judgment Day, or the sign of the blowing of the horn, is the major resurrection. Now you find Rasulullah would always connect belief in Allah to the last day. A lot of a hadith. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let them speak good or remain silent. Famous hadith. Man kana yu'minu billah, to believe in Allah. Wal yawm al-akhir, in the last day. Falyaqul khayra aw liyasmut. Why would Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always link belief in the last day to belief in Allah? Because a person who doesn't believe in the last day won't act, won't perform any good deeds. A person who thinks that there is no hereafter, no day of accountability, no reckoning, they'll do what they want. They'll rape, kill, steal, murder. They'll do what they want. They think, ah, khalas, free as a bird. But to believe in Yawm al-Qiyamah, it fixes your iman and it fixes your deeds. That's why in Surah Al-Ma'un, how does it begin? أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Why is the Day of Judgment called Deen? مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Right, you think Deen, religion, that's true, but there's another meaning. The word Deen in Arabic came from Dain. What do you notice about Deen and Dain?
Same letters,
exactly. In Arabic, when words share letters, they share meaning. What's Dain? Ahsant, a debt. And it's also used for a loan. Same word. Do debts and loans have to be paid back? They sure do. Thus, it's a day of payback. The Day of Judgment is the day of payback, where if you did good, you'll be paid back in good. If you did bad, you'll be paid back in bad. So it's payback for the kuffar, but it's payday for the believers. Alhamdulillah. So it's Yawm al-Din. So Allah Ta'ala says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen the one who rejects and belies the Day of Judgment? What does he do? What's the next ayah? فَذَلَكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. This person pushes the orphan around. Why? It doesn't care. Thinks, no one's going to hold me to account for this. I treat him like garbage. SubhanAllah. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. They don't even encourage, not feed. They don't even encourage the feeding of the poor. SubhanAllah. You know the beauty of this ayah? Allah said, and it's commonly translated, وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. What's طَعَامِ mean? This is commonly translated as, they don't encourage the feeding of the poor. Feeding in Arabic is it'am. It's not it'am here, to feed. But what's ta'am? It's a different word. What does it mean? What's ta'am? Any ta'am, I'm hungry. Food, literally. Ta'am means food. So it should be translated, they don't even encourage the food of the miskeen. Meaning, ta'amul miskeen, the food of the poor. In other words, it's his food. When you feed someone, it's from your own wealth, your own food, you're giving it to them. But it's ta'amul miskeen, it's his food. In other words, this person is so bad, they don't even give the poor person his own food, his own right. SubhanAllah. That's what the ayah is telling us. It's not a ta'am, different word. And that's the beauty of the Arabic. When you go straight to the source, you get those gems. And Allah Ta'ala mentioned it in singular. He said miskeen, he didn't say masakeen. And he said yateem, he didn't say aitam and yatama. Again, showing singular. Why? That this person is so bad, so corrupt, they're not even concerned with one individual, one orphan, one poor person, let alone the masses. See the beauty of those ayat? So that person, they're corrupt on the inside. Why? Because they don't believe in the last day. And a very important benefit we can take from this hadith, where we said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let him speak good or remain silent. Is that Rasulullah linked the tongue to Tawheed. Who believes in Allah, Tawheed. He linked our iman to what? The tongue. A lot of people, they think Tawheed is only learning Rububiyyah, Al-Asma' al-Sifat, Hakimiyyah, Uluhiyyah. Let's go make takfir and tafsiq and tabdi' on everyone. Habibi, Tawheed is also, it should emanate on the limbs. It should come forth on the limbs. That's what Tawheed is. He linked Tawheed to the tongue. In other words, if we are backbiting everyone, swearing, cursing, there's a problem with our Tawheed. Straight up. There's a problem with our Iman and our Aqeedah. Aqeedah is not just, as we said, theoretical, but rather, it's practical as well.
Is it akhlaq?
Akhlaq, perfect. And there's another hadith to back this up. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Akmalul mu'minina imanan." Those who have the most perfect iman are who? Ahsanuhum khuluqa. Those who have the best khuluq, the best character. That's the best mu'min. But we don't be like some people who they say, you only have to focus on character, leave aqidah and tawheed. No. And neither do we say, you only focus on aqidah and tawheed and you leave character. No. We take it all. We take it all. Ibn Taymiyyah said, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are who? A'lamu al-nasi bil-haq wa arhamu al-nasi bil-khalq. They have the most knowledge about the truth and they are the most merciful. Yes. A'lamu al-nasi bil-haq wa arhamu al-nasi bil-khalq. This is Shaykh al-Islam's words. Ahlul Sunnah are A'lamu al-nasi bil-haq وأرحم. What's أرحم mean?
Merciful.
Yeah, from رحيم and رحمة. وأرحم الناس بالخلق. What's the خلق?
Creation.
Correct. They show mercy to the creation. In other words, not just to humans, to animals as well. That's أهل السنة والجماعة.